The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
So this evening is Dalet Ador Aleph, and that's the yahrzeit of the great Reb Lezer Gordon, Zichrono Tzadik Livrocha. Lezer Telzer, the founder of the Telzer Yeshiva, his memory should be for a brocha, and we should be a melech tev for all of us in Klal Yisrael. This week's parsha is Parshas Truma. We now start to learn about the commandments of the building of the Mishkan, and this will carry on now, the building of the Mishkan, for the next number of sedras. Excuse me. The Torah states, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe lemor. Hashem said to Moshe, saying, Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'yikchi li truma. Speak to the Bnei Yisrael and take for me truma offerings. Me'ez kol ish asher yidvenu liboy tikh es trumosi. From all people, me'ez kol ish, from all men, people, asher yidvenu liboy, whose heart uplifts them, you shall take my trumosi, my offerings. Now these were the offerings that were needed for the building of the Mishkan of the sanctuary. V'zeis ha'truma, these are the offerings, asher tikhu me'itom, which you shall take from them, zo v'ches v'nechoshes, gold, silver, copper, scheles v'argoman, v'sala ashoni v'sheish v'izim, different types of wools that were dyed blue, purple, scarlet, linen, goat's hair, oris elim ardomim, different types of skins, atze shitim, these were cedar wood or a certain type of wood, shemen lamaor, oil, somim, shemen amishka, velekteris asamim, different types of spices and scents, Avnei Shoham, Avnei Meluim, Leifer Melacheshen, precious stones, so forth. Rashi tells us that in total there are 13 Yud Gimel Borim, 13 different types of materials, precious materials, that were needed for the building of the Mishkan. Vosali Migdosh, and you shall make for me a sanctuary. The Mishkan had two names. It was called the Mishkan, and it was called the Migdosh. Vishochanti b'seichom, that I may dwell amongst you. The word Migdosh comes from the word Kodesh. Kodesh means something which was separated. Mufrosh, separated. Sometimes it can mean elevated, sometimes it doesn't have to mean elevated. In this case it means something which is above you, elevated from you, separated. The word Mishkan comes from the word to be from Shochein, to dwell, like it states for Shochanti B'Seichon. So it was referred to both as a Mishkan because it was something which was separated from people, above them, elevated. And it was called also Mishkan because it was the dwelling place, Vishochamti, the dwelling place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that I may dwell amongst you. Kechol asher ani mar eischo eistavnis ha-mishkan veistavnis kol keilov v'chein ta'asu, and all in accordance that I show you the exact way and plans of building the Mishkan and everything that was in it, so shall you do. And then the Torah goes into the various different parts of the Mishkan. It starts with the Oren, Ba'asu Aron Atze Shitim. The Oren was the first of the Kelim. This was like an ark, which was to hold the Sefer Torah, which Moshe wrote, and the Luchai Sabris, the tablets which he brought down, and the Shivrei Haluchos, and the tablets which he broke. This parsha can take place in two possible times. Rashi brings in a number of places that this parsha is taking place on the day after Yom Kippur. This was the first opportunity that Moshe had to command the people, because when he went up on Har Sinai on Vav Sivan, the 6th of Sivan, to receive the Torah, then he was there for 40 days and 40 nights. When he came down, it was Yud-Zayin B'Tammuz, 17th of Tammuz, and he found the Egel Azor, the golden calf. He broke the tablets. The next day he returned to the mountain again for 40 days and 40 nights to ask for Mechila, and of course Baruch Hu should forgive Klal Yisrael. Then he came down again, and that was at the end. That was at the very end of Av. And then he went up the next morning, which was Rish Chedesh Elul, and he stayed a third time for 40 days and 40 nights. And this time HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave him and gave him the second tablets. And he came down, and it was Yom HaKippurim. So the first opportunity that he had to command Klal Yisrael to start fulfilling the mitzvahs and building the Mishkan was Mimachores HaYom HaKippurim. So according to Rashi, this parsha is taking place on the day after Yom Kippur. And everybody agrees that that's when they first started to do the work for the building of the Mishkan. But there's another opinion also, which is brought in a footnote, which is in some of the old Rashi scripts. And this is quoted from the Zohar HaKodesh, that actually this parsha is taking place when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai during the first 40 days. And this is not the Tzivui, not when Moshe is commanding the people, that he does in the later sedras, but it's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is commanding Moshe in all of the works of the Mishkan. So it could be taking place in two different times, depending if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is instructing Moshe or Moshe is instructing the people. Here we have a commandment of building the Mishkan. The Rambam brings in the beginning of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Mitzvos Aseh, it's a positive commandment, La'aseh Bayis LaHashem, to build a house for Hashem. Muchen li'yis makrivin bei hakorbones v'chegigin elov shleish pomim bashona, which we should be set aside where we can come and bring sacrifices, and also that we will come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu three times each year. These are on the Shleish Regolim, Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. Shneamar, where does this commandment appear in the Torah? V'osu li migdosh, he quotes the Pasuk in Har Parsha, that you shall make for me a sanctuary. The Rambam writes, it's already explained very thoroughly in the Torah, the Mishkan which Moshe made, but this Mishkan was temporary, was not forever. Later on in Parshas Re'eh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Klal Yisrael that this will be where you will bring your korbanos, your sacrifices now, because you have not come yet to the nachalo and to the menucha, to your final inheritance, your final place of rest. That will be many, many years later. And then the Mishkan will become more than just the sanctuary that it is now, but it will become the great Beis HaMikdash. Now the Rambam tells us, Kivan Shenichnas La'aretz, once, well, this Mishkan was with Klal Yisrael for 40 years in the desert. Kivan Shenichnas La'aretz, once they came into Eretz Yisrael, Amidu HaMishkan beGilgal, they put up the Mishkan in a place called Gilgal, that was not far from where they crossed the Jordan River, Arba Esrei Shono, Shekofshu Usheholku, and it stayed there for 14 years when they were conquering and dividing the land. Umisham Bo'u LeShiloh, and then from there they moved it to Shiloh. Ubonu Shom Bai Shel Avonim, and there they expanded the Mishkan, instead of the Mishkan was more like a somewhat like a tent. It didn't have walls of stone or of wood. There they made a bayis shel avonim. They made a house, a building of stones. Uporsu yiriyas hamishkan olav, and they took all of the walls of the Mishkan, the tapestries and so forth, and they spread that over it. V'lo ha'yisa shem tikro, but it was not totally covered. V'shin samech tes shono, omad Mishkan Shiloh, and the Mishkan of Shiloh stood for 369 years. U'kishumeis Eli, and when Eli the Novi, he was the Kohen Gadol, when he died, Chorav, it was destroyed. Ubo Lenev, and then they came to Nov. Nov was known as an Ir Kahanim. That was where the whole episode took place with Shaul and Dovid HaMelech and Dovid Adomi. They came to Nov and Bonu Shom Mikdosh, and there they built the Mishkan. U'kishumei Shmuel, and then it stayed there until Shmuel died. When Shmuel died, Chorav, it was destroyed again. U'bo'o le'Gibayon, they came to Gibeon. U'bonu Shom Mikdosh, and there they built a Mikdosh. Migibon bo'o le'Beis HaOlamim, and from Gibeon they came to what was known as Beis HaOlamim, that was Yerushalayim. V'imei Nei v'Gibayon sheva v'chamishim shona, and the time that they were in Nev and Gibeon were 57 years. Sheva v'chamishim shono. So the it was almost 450 years. It was almost 450 years that the Mishkan, from the time, actually would be more. It was about almost 450 years in Eretz Yisrael. We add on another 40 years in the desert, so it was close to 500 years that the Mishkan remained the Mishkan, but it moved from place to place until finally it was built in Yerushalayim. So it went from the desert to Gilgal, where it was for 14 years. Then it went to Shiloh, and there it was 369 years. And there it went to Nov, and there it went to Gibeon, and in those two places it was 57 years. Now, after that time, the Mikdosh was built in Yerushalayim. And this was done by Shlomo HaMelech through the instruction of David HaMelech. Once it was built in Yerushalayim, Nesru kol hamakemes kulam livnois behen bayis l'Hashem u'lahakriv behen korban. Then became Nesru kol shar hamakemes. During the time of the Mishkan, it was possible to have a house for Hashem in other places outside of Yerushalayim. Like you see here, we had, even outside of the Midbar, outside of the desert, we had in in Gilgal, in Shiloh, in Nob, in Gibeon. And in between the times that the Mishkan was destroyed, the Gemara brings that people could make their own bomes. Or if the Mishkan was not in a permanent place, people could make their own bomes, their own altars, and bring their own sacrifices. But once the Mishkan found a permanent place, and that was in Yerushalayim, on Har HaBayis, Har HaMoriah. That's what we have left. We have the remnants left of it today in Yerushalayim. And that's, we have one wall left, and that's the Kotel HaMarovi. That's an extreme outer wall. Once it was built there, Nesru Kolama came as Kulan, then all other places in the world forever became forbidden ever to build a home for Hashem there, or ever to bring korbanos. So therefore, we can never bring sacrifices today in any other place. Be'ein shom bais l'deiri hadoros, and there will not be another home for generations and generations. Ela b'Yushalayim b'lvad, only in Yushalayim. Ubahara Moriah, and on Hara Moriah, Shibor Ne'amar v'yomed David, Zehu beis Hashem Elokim, v'zeh mizbach la'ele l'Yisrael, v'emezeish menuchosi adeyat. That's what David said, that this will be the house for Hashem, this will be his mizbeach, his altar for his sacrifices, and this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, zeish menuchosi adeyat. This will be my final place of rest forever. We can't ask Akasha why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want a Mishkan? Why did he want a Bais? We see he wanted a place to dwell here betachtoni, in the lower worlds. What for? Now this is a good question, because Moshe Rabbeinu also asked the question. And we'll see that Shlema Melech also asked the question. Medrash brings in here in Truma Parsha Lamed Daled. B'shoa Shoma HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe Aseh Li Mishkan. When Moshe said to Hashem, excuse me, when Hashem said to Moshe, make for me a sanctuary, Hizkil Matmiah, he started to be Tamei, he started to wonder. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mole Alyonim V'Tachtonim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's honor is all over the world, the upper worlds and the lower worlds. V'hu Emir Asei Li Mishkon. And he's telling me that I should make a dwelling place for him here. The Ode, Hoya Mishtakel Veraya, Sheshlema, Omed Ubeine Beis Amigdash, Hu Godel Bina Mishkon. And then also he saw Beruach HaKodesh, into the future, that Shlema Melech will come and will make a magnificent Beis Amigdash that will be far, it'll be follow the same pattern of the Mishkon, but it'll be far expanded and far greater. Boma Livne HaKodesh Baruch Hu, and even Mesh, and even Shlema Melech, will ask this question. Now this is in Malachim. Malachim Aleph Perches. Pasukhov Zayin. Shlema Melech will say, Ki ha'umnam yeshe velekim al oretz. Is HaKadosh Baruch Hu going to dwell on the earth? Hinei ha-shomayim u-shmei ha-shomayim lo yichal kelucha. Af ki ha-bayis hazeh ha-shob o-nisi. The heavens and all of the heavens cannot hold HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the bayis, the house that I will build, that will hold him. So Shlema Melech also asked this question. And we find also the we find in Yeshayahu Samech Vav Aleph that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Kayamar Hashem, Hashemayim, this is the Haftarah that we read on Rosh Chodesh, Hashemayim Kisi, Be'oretz Adom Ragloi, the heavens are my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Eze Vayis, Asher Tibnuli, what kind of home can you build for me? if the whole heaven, all of the heavens are my throne, and the earth is my footstool, ve'eze mokom minuchosi, and what place can I find a place for rest? So the question is a good question. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want us to build for him? A sanctuary, a place where he can dwell? And why does he need it? And how can there be a place that he can dwell in when he's Molech Fede Kol Ha'ilam? More. He takes up the entire world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referred to as Hamokom, the place. Because I'll say why. Because Ein Ha'olam Mekeimai Elohu Mokom Shal Ha'ilam. The world is not his place, he's the place for the world. So, it's a good question. The Medrash continues and says, L'kach omar Meisha, Yoshev b'seise elyon, b'tzel shada yislona. Now, this is a posuk. This is a posuk in our tefillas, but it's a posuk in Tehillim. In Tehillim, in Perek Tzadik Aleph, Moshe said, "Yoshev b'seise elyon, b'tzel shaddai yislonan." The elyon, the one who is the highest. He dwells in Seser. He dwells in secrecy. B'tzel Shaddai Yislonan. He will dwell in the shadow of Shaddai, Shin Dalet Yud. This Perek of Tehillim is said immediately after Moshe said, "Vihinom Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu, Maaseh Yodeinu Kenanu Aleinu, Maaseh Yodeinu Kenanehu." That the pleasantness and beauty of Hashem should be on us, and should be on our Maaseh Yodeinu, on the works of our hands. Now, when did Moshe say this posuk? The Chazal tell us that Moshe said this posuk when the building of the Mishkan was completed. And Rashi brings this in Parshas Pikudei. In Parshas Pikudei, Lamates Mem Gimel. Just looking for it here. Yeah. Lamates Mem Gimel, Vayar Maishas Kol Malocha. This was after that they brought everything to him and he was assembling the whole Mishkan. Vayar Maishas Kol Malocha. Well, he was about to assemble everything. So Maishas saw all of the works of the people. Vine Osu Aiso, Kasha Tziva Hashem Kain Osu. And they made everything exactly like HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded them. Vayavorach Esam Moshe, and Moshe blessed them. Incidentally, it didn't take them too long to make it, because the Mishkan was completed on Chanukah, it states, on Chof Hei Kislev, which was Chanukah. At that time there was no Chanukah yet, but on the day that Chanukah was to take place, Chof Hei Kislev. And they started immediately after Yom Kippur. See, this would be the 10th of Tishrei. So you have the 10th of Tishrei, the 10th of Cheshvan, the 10th of Kislev. So it took them just a little over 2 months. See, 2.5 months. It wasn't assembled until Reish Chodesh Nisan. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Metzaveh, commanded. But it didn't take them that long. So Vayar Meishas Kol Malocha Vinei Osu Esei Kasher Tziva Hashem Kein Osu. And Meishas saw all of the work, and they did exactly as HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded. Vayvorach Esam Moshe, he blessed them all. So Rashi brings, what was the brocha that he gave them? Omer lehem yirotzen shetishre shechina b'masi yedecha. That shechina, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should dwell in the works of your hands. V'inayim Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu. he said on them this bracha, that the pleasantness of Hashem should dwell on us, b'masi yodeinu, in the works of our hands. And Rashi brings, this is echad miyud alav mizmorim shebetfila l'meisha. There are 11 prokim, 11 kibitla chavtilim that Moshe wrote. And this is one of them. So we see that right after he said that, that's when he said, Yoshe b'seis elyon b'tseil shadai yisleinon. Now, what is the meaning of this posuk? This posuk Moshe said after the works of the Mishkan. So the Medrash states as follows. It says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda ben Simon, Yeshu b'seisu, hu elyon hakol b'riyoso. B'tzeil, he will dwell in the tzeil she'osa b'tzalel. Lakach nem b'tzeil shadai yisleinon. Now there's two pirushim. There's a simple meaning and there's the remes. The simple meaning is Yeshe b'seise elyon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who's elyon, who is the above everything, and he dwells in secrecy. Nobody knows where he dwells. Now, we know where he dwells. Even though no one knows where he dwells, we know where he dwells. B'tzeil, now Shin Dalet Yud can be Kodesh or it can be Chol. It can be a shame for Hashem or it can mean something else. So the simple meaning is it refers to the shame of Hashem. B'tzeil, Shin Dalet Yud Yislonon, he, Shin Dalet Yud, dwells B'tzeil in the shadows. And that would be the simple sense. We don't know where he dwells, but he dwells in some place. And why does it say Shin Dalet Yud? The name Shin Dalet Yud refers to, it comes from the word die. It's enough. When you say things are enough, when you want to hold them back. And of course, Bo, who created the world, and he told the world, let there be light, let there be water. So the light could have gone on and on forever. The waters could have gone on and on forever. So he had to say, die, enough. So the word die, Shin Dalet Yud, comes when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to restrain himself. He wants to withhold himself. So really HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot dwell anywhere. But he can constrain himself. He can be limit himself, be metzamtzim himself. And that's why it states Shin Dalet Yud. He will dwell in the shadows, but it doesn't say where in the shadows. The remez of the posuk, the soul, the secret in the posuk, is coming to tell us that the world does not know where he dwells, but we know where he dwells. Yeshu b'seisa elyon, he who is above everything, and he encompasses all of the worlds, and therefore he has no dwelling place in this world, and he dwells in secrecy. B'tzeil, Shin Dalet Yud Shaddai is Chol. It does not necessarily refer to Hashem's name. Rashi in Tehillim tells us that the word Shaddai means Chozek, strong. He dwells in the shadow of he who is strong. Now, Bezalel, he was the chief architect of building the Mishkan. And his name is Bezalel El. And you could learn, it has two meanings. You could read into his name Bezalel and then Aleph Lamed. Aleph Lamed also can mean Shem Kodesh. It can refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it can refer to something else also. If we can learn in Bezalel's name is Bezalel Kel, that he was the shadow for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So then it would mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is greater than all of the worlds, nevertheless, he can be Metzamtzim, he can constrain himself and dwell B'tzeil Yislonon in the shadow that B'tzalel has made. And that would be the Mishkan. And Bezalel, his name would mean sail, kill, the shadow for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to dwell in. And then there's another meaning. Bezalel, sail, ale. Ale can mean Hashem Chol. Another word. It doesn't have to mean Hashem's name. And when it means another word, what does it mean? It means strong. Also strong. As it states, Eile Ha'oretz. The strong men of the earth were referred to as Eile Ha'oretz. See, ale means strong. So Bezalel means his name was the shadow of the strong. And the word Shaddai, we said, means strong. So this is what Moshe said, Bezalel Shaddai Yislonon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will dwell Bezalel in the shadow of Shaddai, of the one who is strong. Who is the one who is strong? Bezalel. His name was the shadow of the strong. So there's two links to Bezalel and to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One is Bezalel means the shadow of Hashem, Bezalel Kel, or it means Bezalel, the shadow of he who is strong, and that would refer to Shaddai, which means strong. And the Shaddai, Shin Dalad Yud, if we're going to use it as a Shem Kodesh, then that is going to mean the power in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to limit himself. Generally, human beings are just the opposite. They need power to expand. He needs power to limit himself. Now, he limits himself to dwell in the shadow that Bezalel has created. So this is what Moshe said at the end of the Melechas HaMishkon, right after he blessed their work, V'Noam, V'Avorach Eson, he said, Yoshev B'Seser Elyon, that he who is above everything and dwells in secrecy, where does he dwell? Now, we know where he dwells. Bezalel Shaddai Yislonon. He dwells in the shadows and constrains himself to dwell in the shadows which Bezalel created in the Mishkan. Now, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually answer Moshe when Moshe asked him, why do you want a bais? How can you live in a bais? So the Medrash says that this is what he answered. Incidentally, this is brought in the Meforshim. The Magnus Kuna brings this, and this is brought in another Meforshim also, and then the Medrash HaMavura explains this. He answered. One minute, lost the page here. Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Leke Shem Shato Sovur, Kach Ani Sovur. He told Moshe that I don't think like you. You think that I need an enormous palace to live in. What palace can hold me? No, I don't need a great palace to live in. Is all I need is Chof Kerish B'Tzofen, V'Chof B'Dorim, V'Ches B'Marav. I need a structure that will have 20 upright beams in the north, and 20 in the south, and 8 in the west. These were the beams of the Mishkan, of the sanctuary. V'lay old, and I'll tell you even more. She'ered ba'atzamtzem shchinosi b'seich amo al amo. I will come down, and I will constrain my shchina, my dwelling, to an amal al amo. I can live in a place which is just one handbreadth by one handbreadth. This is what he told Moshe. So, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, I can live in the Mishkan. And I don't even need the whole Mishkan to live in. I only need one Amo and one Amo. Now, where is this one Amo and one Amo that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is referring to? So we have to find out where this HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he said, build a Mishkan v'shochanti, and I will dwell in it. But where does he dwell in the Mishkan? Well, let's see in the Sedra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after he told us what kind of materials will be needed, then he said, also Arena Tzishitim, you shall make an Oren for the Sefer Torah. And he goes through all of the details. Then he said that after you finish the Oren, Bosisa Kapora Zov Tohor, make a gold covering for it. And from the gold covering, Osisa Shnaim Kruvim Zov, you shall make two Kruvim, two images. And these were two angelic-like images of a young boy and a young girl, each with wings spreading out, looking at each other. V'asei kru v'echod mikotze mizeh, kru v'echod mikotze mizeh. One image on one side, the other on the other side. Mina kaporis, they should come out of the gold covering. V'nosates ha-kaporis ala oren milmola. And you shall put the kaporis, this gold covering, with the two angelic images on top of the Orem. V'elho Orem titei neso edu shasher etein elecho. And in the Orem you shall put the testimony that was the Sefer Torah and the tablets. Now, in Posuk Chof Beis, v'no adati lecho shom. No adati means I will station myself there. That will be my place. No adati comes from the word mo'ed. This is where I will take for my place. V'na'adati l'cho shom. That's where I will be. V'dibarti itcho. And there I will speak to you. He's speaking to Moshe. Me'al ha'kaporis. From on top of the kaporis. V'bein shnei ha'kruvim. Between the two images. Asher al aroin ha'edus. Which is on the Orem. That's where I will speak to you whatever I want you to command Bnei Yisrael. And that's why the Mishkan also was referred to as the Ohel Moed. It was the place where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was stationed, and Moshe could always come to meet with him there. And Moshe would go to the Mishkan, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu would be on the Aron, right above the Kruvim, between the two Kruvim, and that's where the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu would come out, and from there would go out Torah to Klal Yisrael, because all of the mitzvahs would come from there. So here we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us where he will stay in the Mishkan. And the Mefarshim bring, and this is in the Medrash HaMavura, that's the Amo al Amo. He says, I don't even need the whole Mishkan. I only need one Amo by one Amo. And that was the space in between the Kruvim. With no arati, and that will be my place. And there I will give you the Torah. And I will teach you the Torah. And from there you will go teach it to Klal Yisrael. So, this is what Moshe said, Yoshe B'Seisa Elyon, he who dwells on high, and in secrecy, B'tzel Shaddai Yislonon, he will dwell in the tzel, in the shadow that B'tzalel will make for him. And this is the place. All right, now we've established where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be. But we still have a question, why? Why does he want to come down here? Why does he want to stay here? He's got plenty upstairs. The simple reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us to make a Mishkan is because we needed a place for the Torah HaKadosha. Moshe came down from the mountain. He has a Torah. What are you going to do with it? So we need a place for the Torah. So he said, make a Mishkan. And the first and foremost object in the Mishkan was the Oren. And this would be the place for the Torah. And now the Torah will have a very, very nice sanctuary. This is the simple meaning. But there's a much deeper meaning that the Medrash tells us. That, no, it wasn't merely a place for the Torah. The Medrash tells us in a number of places, and we'll quote some of them. First, in the beginning of Parshas Truma, in Perek Lamed Gimel, Os Aleph, it states, "V'yikuli Truma, you shall take from me Truma." The Medrash here makes a Gzeres Shoveh. It says in our Pasha V'yikuli Truma, the word kach, kicho. Actually, we're learning Kiddushin now. In Kiddushin, this Gzeres Shoveh, kicho, kicho, b'shnei Ephron. Here also, it says V'yikuli Truma, kicho. And then the Medrash says that by Torah also states kicho. Ki lekach tov nosati lochem torosi el ta'azovu. Mishle Gimel. That Torah is referred to as a lekach tov, a very, very good purchase. So it's the same Hebrew word, so we make a gzeir shava, we link the two parshas. The Medrash says like this. El ta'azovu es ha-mekach shenosati lochem. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, do not forsake the mekach, the purchase that I'm giving to you. Why? Yesh lochodom lekeach mekach yesh bezovein bekesef. Sometimes you purchase something, it's got gold but doesn't have silver. Yesh bekesevein bezov. Sometimes it has silver and doesn't have gold. Aval amekach shenosati lochem. But the mekach, what I'm giving to you, the Torah, is yesh by kesev, it has silver, as it states, imreis Hashem imoris tohoris kesev tzoru, yesh by zohov, it has gold in it, as it states, anechamodi mizov umipoz rov. The Maral explains that the mila, the great benefit of zohov is its beauty to look at. When gold is shined up and polished and is made nice, it becomes beautiful jewelry that the eye takes much pleasantness from. This is the benefit, this is the great attribute of gold. Silver, on the other hand, does not have a beauty to it. It's actually colorless. But the benefit of silver is its purity, because its appearance is almost transparent. Now, there's some things which are very, very beautiful, but they're not pure. There are other things which are very pure, but they're not beautiful. And this is kesef, and this is zohov. Torah is both. Torah is both beautiful. It's compared to gold. David HaMelech compared it to. And it's both pure. It's compared to silver. Yesh odam lekeach sodeis avalekromi. Sometimes you buy land that has fields in it, but it doesn't have vineyards. Kromim vele sodeis. Sometimes you buy land that has vineyards, but doesn't have fields. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, aval hamekach hazeh yesh bei sodeis v'yesh bei kromim. This has both fields and vineyards, as it states in quotes a posik from Shir HaShirim, that it's fields and it's pardes remainim. It's both fields and fruit trees and vineyards. Now, what is this talking about? Well, this has two meanings. The fields, there you grow your wheat and your barley. These are the staples. Man must have that. The vineyards, there you grow your wine. Now, a person can live without wine, but it wouldn't be a very, very enjoyable life if you just had to have bread and millis all of the time. See? The wine brings in tanugim. See, that brings simcha. It says, yain yisamach levav enosh. That brings simcha to a person and enjoyment. On the other hand, if you had only wine, it would not sustain a person. Lechem yisod. It's the bread that sustains a person. But nothing has everything in it. Either you buy a field for wheat and barley, or you buy a vineyard. You can't have both. But the Torah has both. The Torah both sustains a person and it brings simcha to the person. That's one explanation. The Maral brings even a deeper explanation. He brings that whatever you see on the field is begolui. You can see what's there. If you ever drive by a wheat field, you'll see the wheat waving in the wind for acres and acres, miles. And the same thing with everything else. And you can see exactly how it's doing. So that's the golui. That's the reveal. However, if you go by a vineyard, you don't know how it's doing. Because even if the grapes are doing well, you don't know what the wine is going to be. The wine is not the grape. And even if you squeeze out the grape, that's not the wine. That's grape juice. What is the wine? The wine is what is produced by the penimi, by the innermost parts of that which is secretly held in the grape. And that's a sod, that's a secret. Because you'll never know how that wine comes out until it's produced. So, there are certain things which are begolui. Field in the Torah is perfect for the person. Therefore, it has fields and it has vineyards. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Torosi al ta'azovu, it's a lekach tov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is a good goodbye. You won't find this any other place. Yesh lecho odom lekeach mekach, ubnei odom ein yodin yodin mahu. Then it goes further. There are many times you buy something. Well, someone, there's a transaction that's going on, but you don't know the value of the transaction. Many times you read about big deals, but they are not revealing how much money changed hands. Ava mischar hasirsor nisvad malokach. But there is a way that you can tell what was the value of the transaction, and that is through the broker. What was the broker's fee for such a transaction? His fee is commensurate with how valuable the transaction was. Kacha Torah einon yevdia mahi el mischar shelokach maisha. Moshe was the broker. Nobody knows what changed hands, what was the value, but we can tell from Moshe's fee. What was Moshe's fee? Moshe lo yada ki koran orponav bedabri itoy. When Moshe came down from the mountain, from speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from learning Torah with him, beams of light were coming out of his face and his head. From there we can see, if that was the reward that Moshe received, so from there we can see what transpired, what was given over. Kula or, it was all light. Then the Medrash says, Yesh lecho mekach shemi shemochare nimkar imai. Do you ever find a case where you sell something to someone and you buy it, but the seller also is thrown into the deal? He's also sold. Never hear of such a case. That was the case here. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Yisrael mochati lechem teirosi kaviyochel nimkarti imo. I sold you my Torah. When I sold you my Torah, I sold you myself also. Shenemba vayichu litruma, and that's what is meant by this parsha. Moshe l'melech shoyisa l'bas shechido. The Medrash gives an example. There was a king who had an only daughter. So it came time for his daughter to get married. So he invited a prince from far away, and the prince came, and it was a good shidduch, and they made a chasam, they made a marriage. After all of the festivities, Bikesh Leilach Leila Atzei Ulita Lishtai. The prince said, it's time for me to go back home. I have my own affairs, I have my own palace, and I have my own lands, I have things to take care of. I must leave now, and I must take my wife. Omale, the king said, Biti Shanasati Loch Yechidoisi. You should know the daughter I gave you is my only daughter. Lifraish Mimeno Eni Yoch. He says, I cannot separate myself from her. On the other hand, to say that you have to leave her here, that I can't either, because she's your wife now. So what should I do? Elazu tova aseli. Do me this favor. Shekol mokem shata holeich. Wherever you go, kitein echod aseli sheedor etzlechem. Wherever you go, build for me a little house also, where I can come also and live with you. She'eni yochel laniach es biti, because I cannot live without my daughter. Kach amar Kodesh Baruch Hu l'Yisrael. So did HaKodesh Baruch Hu say to Israel, Nosati lachem es haTorah. I've given you my Torah. The Torah is my only daughter. Lifrei she'mena eni yochel. I cannot live without her. Leimaloch al titlua eni yochel. To say you're not allowed to take her, I can't, because I already gave her to you. El bechol mokum sha'atem holchim ba'is echod asuli she'edor b'seichai. And therefore I say to you that wherever you go, build a house for me also, that I can dwell there. And that's what it states, v'osuli migdosh, you shall build a sanctuary for me. So here, the what the Medrash is telling us is that the Mishkan was not built because we had to find a place for the Torah. The Mishkan was built because we had to find a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And why did we have to find a place for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Because we took his Torah from him. And he cannot separate himself from his Torah. And that's what the Zeh HaKadosh says, Kuchibrichu b'yaraisu chadhu. It's impossible to separate Torah from Hashem, because the Torah zuhi ritzono. This is him. This is his will. We say, me'or ponecho. The light of the Torah comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And that's why in the Zohar it states that when a person is learning Torah, he's as close to the Shechina as it's humanly possible for one to come. I once quoted, but there was it was brought either from the Zohar or from the Arizal, that the Tanuk, even if a person might not feel it, but the closeness and the enjoyment that a person has from learning Torah is even greater than that he'll have in Gan Eden, because this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. So now, the reason why we built the Mishkan was not for a place for the Torah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you've taken my Torah, what about me? And that's what he says. Did you ever hear when someone sells you something, the seller goes into the deal also? He says, here, Kaviyochal, it was I also was sold with the Torah. And therefore, wherever you go, I must find, make a place for me that I may dwell also. The Medrash learns this out because it states, V'yikhuli truma, and it says, Ki lekach tov nosati lochem. It uses the same word here by the Mishkan as it does by Torah. So they make the Gzera Shova. There's another Medrash that says, this is the reason why this parsha is written immediately after Matan Torah. At the end of Parshas Mishpotim, see, the Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, is in Yisro. And then we have in Mishpotim all of the laws. But at the end of Mishpotim, the Torah goes back to Moshe on the mountain and the giving of the Torah. And then we come to Truma. So why? To put these two parshas right together. Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Torah to Moshe, that required, that demanded the building of the Mishkan. Now, there's another Medrash which is of the same note, and that's in Os Zayin. One minute. Now this Medrash is saying the same, but it adds a few things. It states V'yichuli truma ki lekaktov nosati lechem Omer berbrachya hakohen berebi meneg shebailam oramei chechevetz miteich beisei hu atzavolo kodesh bochur nosan teiru Yisrael v'somach. When a person sells something, he feels badly about it because he doesn't have it anymore. Kodesh bochur gave Torah to Yisrael, he's happy. When a person buys something, you know, it's an enigma, because when you buy something, the more valuable it is, from one aspect, the more happy you are. But from the other aspect, the more you worry now, because it might get stolen. The proof of it is, right away, you go out to take insurance on it. Avalatera mishamro ba'aleho. My Torah is not like that. See, actually, Shlema Melech said in Mishle, Ki tov sachro, be called mischar. Torah is the best business. It's the best merchandise. Now, there are many reasons, but this is one. You buy merchandise, it's wonderful. You got a warehouse full of merchandise now. But now you got to hire a half a dozen guards and take out all big kinds of insurance policies to guard it. You buy Torah, it says you don't have to guard it. Atayra mishamra ba'aleho. The Torah will guard you. Shinamar bi'islach lecho tancha isko. When you lay down, or when you walk, it will lead you. B'naik sheba adam, ba'ilam adam lekeach hevitz min ashuk. Shema yochal lignais bailov, aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosanteiru l'Yisrael v'omar lehem kaviyochal li atem lekhim b'yichu li truma. When you buy something in the marketplace, you buy the item, but you don't buy the seller. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you bought my Torah, you bought me. And here they dash in a little different. It says b'yichu li truma, b'yichu li, you have taken me. See, you have taken me. And then there's another medrash in Os Ches, which states, Torah tziva lona Moshe, morosha ki hilash Yaakov. Torah Moshe commanded us, and it's a morosha, it's a yerusha, it's an inheritance to Israel. Moshe leben melochim shenishba, a prince, a young prince, was captured. He was kidnapped. Kishu Kotten, when he was a young boy, the Medina Sayom, and they took him far away. Afilu l'acha kamashoni meina bosh mipnei shoim el Yerushas avosai ani chayze. Even if he gets free many years later, he's not ashamed to come back to his home and to his palace and to all of the wealth and power, because he says, I am coming back to my Yerusha. This is my inheritance. Kach tamal chocham shuperish min haTorah, v'holach v'sasek bedvorim acherim. So is it with the Tamal Chocham, who learned many, many years, but then he stopped learning, and he went into business, and for years he was involved with business all of the time. But afil lach kamashonim hu mevakesh lachzor ein bosh. But even if after many years he wants to come back to Torah, he's not ashamed. Because he says, Le Yerusha Savesa Ani Choser, I'm coming back to my Yerusha, to my inheritance. Now, Dova Acher, Morosha Alti Kora Morosha Elam Urosha. What does it mean, Morosha Kilosh Yaakov? Not that it's a Yerusha, it's an inheritance to the congregation of Yaakov. Me Urosha, it's betrothed to the inheritance, to Yaakov, that Torah is betrothed to them. Ma chosen zeh, calls man shele nosa arusose, hu hava paraduran lebeis chomov, mishenosa hare avio bo etzlo. We see in the world that when somebody becomes engaged to a girl, or erisin, today we don't have erisin without nesuin, we have it together, but there was what was erisin, which was similar to an engagement where the young lady didn't come into the home yet of her husband. She remained in the home of her family and he remained in his home, but they were officially married. Now, as long as that situation exists, so it states that the chosen often visits in the house of his father-in-law because his kala's there. So he comes to visit his kala all of the time, and he stays in the house of his future father-in-law. Mishanoso, but what happens once he marries and then he takes his wife to his house? Hare avia ba etzlo. So now the father-in-law comes and stays in his house, comes to visit him and stays, you see. Like many times for Yantim, he'll go where the kala is. But once he establishes his own home, so then many times it's common that the father-in-law will come to visit him. Kach ad shelei nitna Torah liYisrael, Moshe ole lekim. Until Torah was given to Yisrael, we find that Moshe had to go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But mishenitna Torah, but once Torah was given, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu leMoshe, v'osa limigdosh v'shachanti b'seichom. Once the Torah was given, now HaKadosh Baruch Hu would go to Israel. Before Torah was given, it was just a promise. So Moshe had to keep going up to the mountain. But once Torah was given, so now HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down and visits Israel. And that's for also Limigdosh, make a place where I can stay. So, what do we see from all of this? We see from all of this that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to build a Mishkan or a Migdosh. What was its purpose? V'shachanti b'seichom, so he can dwell. Where will he dwell? He will dwell in the Mishkan. Where in the Mishkan? Amal al Amma, right over the Oren, between the Kerubim. Why will he dwell there? Because that's where the Torah is. The Torah was kept in the Oren, and it went out of the Oren between the Kruvim, and then it went out to the world. That's where he'll dwell. Why did he want to dwell there? And why did he want us to build the Mishkan so he could dwell there? Because without giving us the Torah, he dwells with the Torah. But once he gave us the Torah, he says he cannot separate himself from his Torah. And therefore, Asu li bayis, you must make a home for me also. And this was the home for him. And this shows what the greatness of Torah is, because it's as close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that anyone can come, to the point where it's inseparable from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And when a person learns Torah, he's learning right with Hashem. And the more he learns, the more he's with Hashem. And the deeper he learns, he's going deeper, the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's impossible to separate them. Now, one final point. The Medrash tells us in Os Dalet, Perek Lamed Gimel Os Dalet. Beikuli Truma. Rebbe Rachia posak lecho Hashem agdule vagvura ki kol bashomayim uva oretz. We have a posuk kol bashomayim uva oretz. What does that mean? Every kol bashomayim uva oretz. Everything in the heavens and the earth. Medrash says like this: Atomaitzi kol ma shibora akorish bochu lemalon boron lematon. Means whatever Hakadosh Baruch Hu created in the heavens, He created on the earth. Kol bashamayim uva oretz. Whatever is in the heavens is in the earth. And then the Medrash goes to great length to show the truth of this in the Mishkan, that certain heavens He made lamala, He made them in the Mishkan. Or it brings, for example, Kruvim, He made bashamayim. He made them in the Mishkan, the Kruvim. So forth. He made the stars in the heavens. He shows how He made the stars in the Mishkan. Okay. It goes through great length. Then it states, Urias, He made the tapestries. That's also in the heavens. That's on the earth here. Then it states, V'lo od. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, not only that everything that's in the earth, and the earth is in the heavens, I have in the heavens, El Shechavivim Kol Ma Shelamata Mishel Malom, but it is more dear and precious to me what is Lamata than Lamala. One would think that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has up there is far greater than what He has here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no. What I have here is greater than what I have up there. Teid Aloch, what's the proof? He says, the proof is, Sheiniach Ma Shelamalon, V'yore B'Shelmaton, because I left my palace, which is in the heavens, and I came to live in my palace, which is here on the earth. Shenemar, as it states, Ve'osu li migdosh v'shochanti b'seichom. Make for me a sanctuary, and I will dwell amongst you. And that's what it says, that's what it means, ki kol bashamayim uva'oretz, everything which I have created in the heavens, I have created in the earth, but I have chosen the earth to be my dwelling place, not the heavens. Because that's chavivin li, that is more dear to me. And what is meant by this? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu cannot give His Torah and have His Torah learned and fulfilled by human beings lamala, on top. He can have the angels do it, but the angels are merely puppets and robots. They do exactly as told, and with no other ways. But to have human beings that from their own free will they can learn His Torah and they can fulfill all of the mitzvahs of the Torah, this is far greater. This is why it states that man is far greater than an angel, because an angel is a robot. Well, a man is a man. So therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, this is why I gave my Torah down here. This was a whole dispute that Moshe had with the angels, because the angels didn't want to let go of the Torah. And Moshe had to prove to them that no, the Torah has a greater purpose here on the earth. And this is why I gave my Torah here. And this is why I choose now to live with my Torah and the people here, rather than in the palace above. So, from here we see that actually, HaKadosh Baruch Hu always chooses, He likes the company of the people on earth far more than of the people in the heavens, if they learn his Torah and they fulfill his Torah. This gives us an explanation in what the Mishkan was and why HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded it of us, and why he chose to dwell in the Mishkan, Vishachamti B'Seichon, build Asuli Migdosh, build the Mishkan for me. And Vishachamti B'Seichon, actually the Medrash also brings it doesn't say Vishachamti B'Seicho, that I will dwell in the Mishkan. He says, build a Migdosh for me, Vishachamti B'Seichon, that I may dwell in you. You see, by me coming down and coming down to the Kruvim, I'm going to be dwelling in Klal Yisrael. So this is the explanation of this mitzvah, but not only this mitzvah, this is from the great cornerstones of the Torah that we have. Thank you.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.